This morning, in honor of Father's Day, well, you have in your program a little write-up about Cindy. Cindy is a lay speaker, which means that she's gone through training and stuff to be able to preach at the Methodist churches in our area. And she does that often here when I'm away. But I have never had the chance to actually hear Cindy because of that. And as a Father's Day gift to me, she offered to take this Sunday and preach so I could, for one time, sit with my wife out in the congregation and my son, so I can sit out in the congregation and be fed spiritually by Cindy's words as she speaks God's word to us. Cindy?
Well, it doesn't come to you as a big surprise that today's Father's Day. I want to say a special happy Father's Day to my dad, my husband. See, isn't that nice? They give you a microphone. You can do all this stuff. And happy Father's Day to Pastor Joe. This is a day that we don't usually just attribute to fathers. We also pay tribute to grandfathers, uncles, someone who played a father figure role in our lives. My husband was pretty much raised by his uncle. When we come to Father's Day, it's his uncle quite often that he thinks about for Father's Day. The third Sunday in June was officially proclaimed Father's Day by President Johnson back in 1966, but it didn't become law until 1974. However, the idea was proposed back in 1909 by Sonora Dodd, who wanted to honor her father, William Smart, who'd raised six children by himself after his wife had died in childbirth. And it is said that she thought about Father's Day during a Mother's Day sermon at church. So the good news is Mother's Day is already created, so you can just pay attention to this one. When I started to research Father's Day, there are a ton of stories and quotes out there, and I thought I would pick out a few for you. One of my favorites that I came across is kind of old. It starts out that there are three men sitting in a waiting room waiting for their wives to give birth. So that tells you how old it is, because most fathers today are right in there in the action. In fact, my husband Gary, his right hand is still somewhat deformed from the day that I gave birth to twins. But anyways, there's three men. They're sitting in the waiting room, and they're all excited, and the nurse comes out. She's smiling, and she's beaming. She says, "Congratulations, Mr. Smith. Your wife just gave birth to twins." And Mr. Smith jumps up and takes the nurse and twirls her around, says, "Hallelujah." And he says, "It's a coincidence because I play ball for the Minnesota Twins." And he runs off to be with his wife. Then she goes to the second man, and she looks at the second man, and she says, "Congratulations, Mr. Brown. Your wife just gave birth to triplets." And Mr. Brown jumps up and starts screaming and hallelujah and twirling the nurse around. And he says, "You know, that's a coincidence too, because I work for the company 3M. And off he goes to be with his wife. As the nurse turns to the last man, Mr. Johnson, he jumps out of his chair and starts running out of the room. She says, "Mr. Johnson, what's the matter?" He says, "I'm out of here. I work for 7-Up. But one of my absolute favorite quotes has been read a number of times. In fact, I'm pretty sure I heard it in a sermon with Pastor Joe. It says that any man can father a child, but it takes a special man to be a father. And what concerns me sort of today is if I look back over my childhood, well, I wasn't really a child in the 50s and the 60s, that was before my time, but back in the 50s and the 60s, there were sitcoms and there were TV shows like Father Knows Best, Ozzie and Harriet, Leave It to Beaver. The fathers in those shows were always looked up upon. They looked up at them. They took their word for what they said. The fathers were always wise. As the decades have passed, sitcoms have gotten a little bit different. There was a sitcom that recently, well, this was back in the 90s. It was Tim Allen played Tim Taylor in the Home Improvement. And it was a funny show. I loved the show because the wife in there had three boys, and I really could relate to that. But the father was always portrayed as being a bit of a klutz and not terribly bright. And it was always the mother who corrected him. Followed after that was a show called Everybody Loves Raymond. Everybody Loves Raymond, again, it's a show that I watched. However, the wife in the show would call her husband an idiot, sometimes in front of the children. And then there's a show now called The World According to Jim. And in this one, you don't even really hardly see the kids. He really doesn't play a father figure. And he has his wife spend most of the show trying to outwit each other and give each other one up. And I think it's very sad that in the media, fathers have started to be portrayed this way. There's another quote that I like that came from Bill Cosby, and he once said, "If the new American father feels bewildered and even defeated, let him take comfort from the fact that whatever he does in any fathering situation, he has a 50% chance of being right." Sometimes that's the problem with parenthood. It doesn't necessarily come with a manual. Well, or does it? We really do have a manual for life, and it could be a manual for fatherhood, motherhood, parenthood, daughterhood, whatever kind of hood you want to have. In here, God created man in his own image. God is the ultimate father, and he has given us a blueprint for our fathers. God has absolutely perfect judgment. He knows what you need when you need it, and I am the perfect example for that. One of my challenges in life, and I've shared this before up here, is that I happen to think I'm terribly competent. I'm the sort of person that will just let me do it myself. I will take over. I'll get it done. I can do this. I don't need any help. This also comes from my father. It's sort of a family trait. My problem is I need to start turning things over to God a little more. Let him handle it for me. So God, in his ultimate wisdom, blessed me with three boys. I don't really always understand boys. And so my boys really do have to thank God, excuse me, that they were given a father, Gary. Because if it wasn't for Gary, I would not understand the point that sports are as important as air. It's not a concept that I have grasped very well. If it wasn't for Gary, there would be nobody checking box scores, whatever the heck those are, and decoding all the secret codes that they put in the sports pages. At my house, ESPN, which is a sports network for those of you who don't know, ESPN plays all the time, every day. I cannot personally tell you which channel ESPN is. I really don't know. In my line of work, occasionally I am given discounts on sporting tickets. I'm also given free tickets. And 2 years ago, I was given 4 tickets to a Pistons game on a Friday night. Unfortunately, my oldest son, Derek, had a track meet. Now, I know sports are as important as life, so Derek had to go to his track meet. I started to think, who can I give these tickets to? That night, Derek and I are in the kitchen. We're fixing supper, and I'm talking to him, and I say to him offhandedly, "Oh, by the way, I have 4 tickets to the Pistons game on Friday. I was wondering who I should give them to." The next thing I know, my son is on the floor, rolling around the kitchen, mumbling something, 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 kid, something, something, kid. I thought he was having some sort of seizure. So by the time I got him calmed down, I did piece together the story. Now, if you are an NBA fan, if you know about basketball, I had tickets in April. That means I had tickets to playoffs. I didn't know. They play a million basketball games, for Pete's sakes. I thought for sure it was no big deal. So I happened to have playoff tickets, and the Pistons at that time were playing the New Jersey Nets. And at that time, there was Jason Kidd, who I am told at that time, was one of the best point guards in the NBA. So not only did I have a chance to take my children to see the Pistons play, but they had a chance to see Jason Kidd play. And I had the audacity to want to give those tickets away. Derek's father, of course, stepped in, explained all of this to me. He went and spoke to the track coach, who happened to be a father and a sports fan, and my boys got to go see the Pistons play. Now, you remember I only had 4 tickets. I stayed home and didn't watch basketball. In Genesis 2:14, we read, "The Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him.'" That goes both ways. It is not good for woman to be alone. God made men and women to be different and to complement one another. And my boys thank God daily for their father. In the scripture that Walt read, we found the passage of Luke 15. And the part 21 through 24, it says, "The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For the son of mine was lost and found.'" The story in the prodigal son, while the father welcomes the son back with open arms, he was always there. He was always waiting. He was a lot like Motel 6. He had the light on for him. My dad, bless his heart, like me, was blessed with children of the opposite sex for his first two children. And there are times that, being girls, we baffled him. But he has always been there for us, and he's always been waiting with open arms. During our late teens and our 20s, my sister and I, at different times, had an opportunity to move home. Sometimes it was in between semesters at college, sometimes we had jobs, sometimes we were transitioning, sleep through most anything, but my mother has an internal clock that she was able to set for 2 a.m. If we had not checked in with her, my mother knew we had not checked in with her, and she was up. And she would wake up my father, bless his heart, and tell him to go out and look for us. So my sister tells a story about a time when she was delayed. She didn't make it home by the magic hour. And she remembers pulling into the driveway, and she saw the lights on. And when she went into the kitchen, there were my mom and dad. And my dad had a 2-liter of Coke, and he was just guzzling away because he was trying to clear his head enough so that he could go out and look for her. So I thank God for my dad, because like the Father in the Scripture, he does keep the light on for us. Now, the last time that I was up here, I told you that I had scriptures for my Scripture a Day calendar, and I used it in my last speech. And I want to say, incidentally, for Christmas I asked for a Word a Day calendar, but my husband got me a Scripture a Day calendar, and I'm thinking he probably was somewhat divinely inspired, because I've used these a lot more than I probably would have used the Word a Day. But anyways, this one that I have comes from Psalm 46, verse 1. It says, God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Fathers are like that. They're our refuge, they're our strength, and we're there when we need help. When Gary and I were first married, we lived out of state. And one time at Christmas, we had come home, and we were visiting my parents, and then we went with my parents over to Battle Creek to visit my grandparents. While we were there, something happened to my parents' car, and it wouldn't work, and we weren't able to get back using that car. So my grandfather was asked, could we maybe borrow his car so that we could get home and make arrangements the next day? My grandfather very generously said, no, that's not a problem. You go ahead and you take that car. But he looks at my dad. Now, keep in mind, my dad was old enough to have married children at that time. He looked at my dad, and he said, son, I'll back that out for you. It's a little tricky. It just goes to show that no matter how old we get, we will always be children to our parents. I thank God for fathers who were there to be our strength and to protect us. Fathers are also like shepherds. I just happen to have another scripture a day. This one is from Isaiah. It said, he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms, and he carries them close to his heart. And he gently leads those who have young. This is Isaiah 40:11. My husband Gary has two older children who now live in Atlanta, who actually have lived in Georgia most of the time that we've been married. When Gary's oldest daughter, Tracy, was 16, she decided that she wanted to live with us in Idaho. She moved clear across the country, because we were in Idaho, she was in Georgia, at an age when change is difficult. And once she moved in, we all realized that it was very difficult for her to make this change, and we really needed to find her a base of friends. The church that we went to in Boise was called the Cathedral of the Rockies, and it was also a Methodist church. It had a fantastic senior high choir called the Children of the Light, and it also had a fledgling youth group. Tracy, like most girls her age, at 16, you're a little bit awkward. You want to look like you're really cool. You don't want to not fit in. You want to be one of the group. And she also was a little bit reserved and a little bit hesitant to try new things. In fact, at the time I met Tracy, she'd never had ice cream other than vanilla because she really didn't like to go outside the box. So Gary, being the good shepherd that he was, dragged her off to choir. Coaxed her into going and trying out for the choir. He also took her to the youth group. He participated in the youth group. He was there with her when she needed him. And then, after she had made the choir after tryouts, because she had a beautiful voice, he knew when to back off, and she started to have friends. In fact, that particular choir toured along the Pacific Coast the summer that she was living with us. Gary knew his daughter needed guidance. He had figuratively gathered her in his arms, and he had carried her close to his heart. After that year, Tracy moved back home with her mother, and now is a mother herself. She's gone through some very tough times this last year, and Gary has always been there for her, even though it is long distance. God put fathers on earth to do his work. They're created in his image. They're there to compliment mothers. They're there like Motel 6. They always have the light on. They serve as our refuge and our strength, and they act as good shepherds. Today, on this special day, please join me in thanking God for fathers. Amen.